Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Savannah Guthrie talked this week to Hoda on the Today Show, and what she revealed isn't just grief. It's details that are beginning to reframe this case. The suspect visited her mother's home, according to her, on two separate occasions. Her brother, a former fighter pilot, recognized this as a targeted kidnapping within minutes of the call, and investigators are now actively working the theory that the man at the front door was not the only person there that night. More information, none of it actually putting us closer to actually getting Nancy Guthrie. But it's more information, so that's something. Joining us to discuss, as always, Robin Drake, retired FBI Special Agent, Chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and also with us, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI Special Agent. I always love having you two together. It's always an interesting deep dive into this. Jen, let's start with the new revelations that have come out from Savannah. It's her words. It's not from an investigative source or investigator. It's Savannah Guthrie speaking. What was your takeaway after that interview?
I got to tell you, from an emotional standpoint, blew me away. From an investigative standpoint, blew me away. There were so many particulars that she mentioned that really impact this investigation. First of all, the major one was that two notes she believes, and I think she believes them because law enforcement believes them, are real. So those two notes she believes are real. And I have to say, I'm not surprised. I don't think all of us believe they weren't real. It wasn't that. It was that, were they truly for money, or was it much more deep-seated to hurt and to just cause more pain for the family? Which is the typical reason why people who do these ransom notes that are fake, right? Not really for money. So in this case, what I though gleaned by her saying they're real is they're from the real abductors. And that is a big revelation today.
Yeah. Do you think, Jen, that those are, attacking this from two sides, definitely targeted that home for something inside. And now, because of Savannah stuff, I've kind of swayed back more towards, you know, the targeted abduction side. Because that those statements about those notes, do you think those the notes that were sent in to TMZ that everyone knows about that she thinks were real, or are they something that was privately held that no one's even heard of?
I think they're the two notes that TMZ got. TMZ, I believe, got six notes. There were the two notes, and then there were notes that followed that said, basically, we know the bad guys, and if you send me money, we'll tell you who they are. You know,
why? You know, it's just this, but you know, it's one of those things. Like I was watching another news show this morning, and they were saying the same thing. It's fitting a pattern of this, but then it blows up because then it doesn't. Like, why would, if they're going for money, why would they do it that way? That's never been done that way before. What do you think was going through their head?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I want to say, Robin, Thank you. You swayed over to me. Remember our last
conversation? I'm back to 50-50 on this one.
I'll take 50 of it.
Yeah,
don't 50-50. Count your chickens before they hatch.
I hit like give up mode yesterday on this. I'm like, Jesus.
So this is the thing. And it's kind of funny because when I look back at the first discussions we had, Tony, I really thought this was all about absolute agony and pain for the family. The notes match that. I've always said that the notes were about agony and pain for the family, and the deed itself was agony and pain for the family. So I can't agree more. And I still believe that the whole money thing was secondary, right? You don't go to a media company. You don't know what they did, you don't do what they did to get money,
right?
But do what they did to absolutely cause pain and suffering for this family.
Why do you don't think there's leakage anywhere else on that? You know, because like again, it's a typical, but this is very atypical. I know. I'm just curious. I mean, you've been really spot on with a lot of these. You know, using the obscure and say, yeah, look, it's actually turning mainstream because of it. Why do you think that there was no other leakage of like vendetta or vindictiveness, or do you think it was targeted for Savannah or Nancy herself? And I'll stop Tony. That after this one, you go back to you.
No, you know, when I look at it, I think that there's just a couple of things in Nancy's background that just can't be ignored as a possibility. In other words, she had extremely strong political views. And we are right now in a climate that is insane in terms of the far, far left and the far, far right. What people that subscribe to either of those are willing to do for their beliefs. It's unbelievable what we're seeing, right? So you just can't overlook that she was her own woman. She had her own views. She was well known. And could that be it? But then you also can't overview, you know, Savannah. Savannah is the one with the huge reach, with millions following her, with all the money, all of that. And so, you know, which one? I tend to think Savannah.
I'd love to understand why they think the notes are real. I mean, I get that that's how Savannah feels. Is that how the investigators feel? I guess would be the next question. There was a lot of things that Savannah revealed in that documentary about her feelings. And she's entitled to all of that, without a doubt. But at the same point, if we're talking about actual, like, investigative leads, you know, her feelings are not investigative leads. So what I'm curious, like, what is it in about these notes that makes anyone think that they're legit? I mean, because again, it's like, okay, if they're legit, they came out and they said, here, you can have the money. Let us know how to get it to you, basically. No one's come forward for the money, alive or dead. I don't know. I have a real hard time still trying to wrap my mind around these notes having any sort of legitimacy to them, other than it was, unless they just didn't care about the money and it was just strictly for torment.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, is wrapping our heads around the fact that this wasn't the money after we all went south. This was just about continued cruelty and torment. When you look at it that way, it makes a lot of sense. I believe it was just last week when we talked, I said, what the hell's going on with the notes? Where's the FBI at on that? That's a huge piece of this case. The fact that they can't solve that. And then also the fact that you look at, they can't solve what happened to her physically, that this was done well enough. And it does make me believe that this is more orchestrated than, of course, initially thought, when everybody thought that was Bumbling Bob on the porch. And now everybody's kind of erased that thought because he's gotten away with it for almost 2 months.
Go ahead.
I'm going back to the notes. I'm with you on this one, Tony, because notes, again, they haven't revealed the exact content. All they said, it was so descriptive. And I ran my own thing where if you take the public images that you had of Nancy's home and the bedroom that were out there and you ran it through AI to create this kind of ransom note with a lot of detail, it will create a really well-crafted note. And then it actually prevented me from doing that, so I actually had to do it on my own family. I ran it on my wife, who has zero social presence on the internet at all, and it gave a really, really, it created a really great ransom note off of someone that has almost a zero web presence. And so I've really, again, I'm struggling with it too, just because it looks like a spearfish to me more than it does anything else. But again, if you look at it through the lens, like you said, of just inflicting pain and suffering, which doesn't happen all that often. Again, to keep going back to
One just doesn't make sense to me either, because it's like, okay, yeah, okay, she's really right-leaning. So are a lot of people. Why would you go after a 91-year-old? I mean, why would you go after this 84-year-old woman who has, you know, a political opinion? It's not like she's out there, like,
It means it's the first one too, because again, there's always outliers, and that's. Yeah. But again, it would be the very first outlier for us to actually politically target a close relative of a celebrity. Because again, I looked it up. The last time this was done, I think, was the 80s. There was like three I could find. Again, doesn't mean it's not. It's just, it's so tough because it fits and then it blows up. Then it doesn't.
I mean, there was. I mean, this utter, and I haven't really talked about it because I've taken it for what I thought it kind of was just utter speculation and noise on this. But early on, I mean, everybody was trying to figure out what's going on here with this. Of course, everyone was, well, it's a distraction to the Epstein files. Okay. I mean, that seems to be any news story is a distraction to the Epstein files. You know, news is going to happen. So, it can't be everything is a distraction to it. But do you think we got anything there? I mean, or is there anything, if this is for pain and suffering, why? I mean, because the thought process, I think, on some of that was, well, Savannah had interviewed, some of the victims and things. But it was a while back that she did. It wasn't like she has a big interview coming up next week and, you know, let's go kidnap your mom and shut that thing down. It was more than a year ago, 2-3 years ago, I think, was when she sat down with...
There's many more inflammatory people in the news right now than Savannah Guthrie.
She's not an inflammatory person. I mean, it's right. And she's as vanilla as it gets,
right?
On so many things. I guess I'm just trying to wrap my head around the motivation here on targeting Nancy Guthrie because she's liberal, or some sort of retribution to Savannah for what I don't know. But there's nuts. I mean, there's nutterers out there. Look at the Reagan assassination attempt. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean they're thinking clearly either.
Well, and I want to be crystal clear on this, that first of all, I think this was a targeted abduction, kidnapping for ransom that went south.
Yeah.
That they came in there, they took her, and it blew up because she died. Yeah. I think it's very possible that she died straight away.
Didn't they come back for the money, though, with her being dead? Because that was offered, too.
Right. It was offered, too. But you know what? It was... I just don't think... So first of all, remember, there were two notes, right? The original note, we don't know everything about it, but we know there was a quid pro quo with a deadline. If you don't do this, and then we never got to hear what it's implied that we're going to kill her, right? Because in number three, in the third conversation that Nancy Guthrie has, where she says, we know she's probably not with us, but bring her back. You know, we need to have peace, that whole peace and kind of religious thing she says. So, and that was after the deadline, right? So that's the order of things. And we still don't know, but those are the two notes that she would be lining up are real. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at that, how do they think they're real? And I know what you're saying, Robin, because it's, was that floodlight broken before they ever went in? In other words, it's just a broken floodlight, and you could see that on a Google map at some point. Could you do your homework to know that she had the Apple Watch because you just watched the Today Show? She has an Apple Watch, and you know you can't wear an Apple Watch at night for a pacemaker, so she puts it on her nightstand, right? Mm-hmm. Those were the two kind of things that came out. Could you just figure that out? And I think you could.
Right.
Were there other details? And they said there were, by the way, mm-hmm. a lot of other details. And when you think about the FBI's reaction to all of this, it was extremely proactive. Get them out there. Get this, you know, what they were going to say rehearsed. Get everything done. Make a play on it. So for those reasons, I think the Bureau believed in them from the get-go because of
or
much time
the Bureau, yeah, but also did, remember, Kash Patel loves sending agents all over the place for the show. So, because I've been part of that as well. I mean, I was, long before he was involved, when I was in New York, every time there's a major event, we wanted to make sure there's agents there. So if someone died, they can say agents were there dying with them. I mean, that was literally what I was told. So I'm always kind of hesitant saying just because they sent agents out there meant they believe it was plausible, just because I've seen the show we sometimes put on. It's not disparaging anyone. I just, because I actually know people that were diverted to there because of wanted to make sure there's a presence as well. So maybe...
I guess I don't mean that so much as I mean that partially, but I don't mean that. I mean, remember when they talked about the notes mm-hmm. and the specificity of them, and then they made the family take action.
Right. Oh, and I thought they did a great job on that, by the way. That was really good. I mean, the messaging they worked on them with, I think, has been probably the highlight for me is all the messaging that Savannah and her family has been doing that's been coordinated with them. I thought that was really well done.
But I agree with you, Tony. There's no way to make sense of an outlier.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Struggling with, they're going, wait a minute, this isn't your usual abduction for ransom. It doesn't fit the peg. So we're just going to abandon that. And I think it's much more clear that that's what authorities think that this was. And it makes sense because it's Occam's razor. The part that doesn't quite fit then are these two notes matching. Because they keep 3 days later.
Yep. What do you think was in those notes that caused the reaction that it did from the family? The video responses that were quoting, what was it? Silence of the Lambs was being quoted in. I mean, what the hell? Okay, so I mean, this is just pure speculation. But what do you think was in those notes that would make that be the reaction? Because it's an odd reaction to have to a note to be quoting Silence of the Lambs in a situation like this that's real life.
Well, I did a huge deep dive into this, exactly what we're talking about here. And mm-hmm. that is the point that those notes and the reaction to them always made it seem so familiar. Mm-hmm. In other words, it was so personal and, mm-hmm. you know, you'll have a second chance. It's never too late. You know, everyone's important. And I'm paraphrasing here, everyone deserves forgiveness. This is a quote. Everyone makes mistakes.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was so very personal, as if there was some linkage between whoever did this to the Guthries in a very personal way.
Yeah, almost like they're like, again, pure speculation, but like the notes must have had something in there about grievances or something against the family or against something to respond that sort of way. Because, I mean, it almost sounded like they were reasoning with like a child, you know, like, it's okay, everything's going to be fine. You know, you can change, it'll be good. It's like, what's going on here? Why are we speaking like this? It didn't make a lot of sense. But that would make more sense if the notes were rather nutty, you know, where it's like, okay, this is somebody who's not playing with a full deck that seems to be writing this. We need to really handle this with kid gloves because they clearly, you know, can go any way at any given time. Judging by their writing, I'm going to guess. Again, pure conjecture and something I've never seen. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, there's just was this huge personal error. And then remember in one of Savannah's responses after that, she actually used overarching themes from her book that she had written. Remember, that's mm-hmm. the book where they talk about kidnapping. She talks about how they played kidnapping games. And then she used one quote and then overarching themes about forgiveness and it's not too late and all of that. So it was really a psychobabble, you know, theology test. It was weird. And there's no way that BAU didn't have their hand in that. They get to decide what they say. And she said that. She said it was really, we were one unit, meaning her, Cameron and Annie and her, in terms of what they were going to say. She never mentions the Bureau or BAU, but you know that they were, at least in part.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it also, she did a great job because she had an empathetic note, which is what we're talking about here, is the empathetic appeal. If the person that they're intending to go to actually has empathy, it'll appeal well. Then she had the next message that also was very procedural. Here's the nuts and bolts of actually do this, in case they have someone who's actually just, hey, let's just cut to the chase. I mean, I thought that's why I thought the messaging was very, very well done, because it was so targeted for different personality types throughout it. And it kept shifting depending on, you know, a lack of response. It's like, all right, because if you're going to, because this is a challenging one, because if you're going to target a note to someone who just potentially killed someone or was going to take them for ransom, the likelihood this person has a high level of empathy, it really diminishes. Yet it's an extremely empathetic note, to your point. But I think, so my impression, it was targeted not really necessarily for the individual, but people around that individual, because not everyone's going to be a pure nut job, only half nut jobs.
I agree.
Should they why not release them now, I guess, would be the question, these notes. I mean, to see if somebody can recognize it as the writing of, you know, crazy Uncle Bill or what, you know, whatever the hell it would be.
I'll tell you why there's no way you can. And in fact, her saying, even though it was very interesting as an investigator hearing about the pajamas and no shoes, that was all interesting, but that was a huge mistake. Mm-hmm. Because now when somebody calls, I feel bad for the tip line people, because now there are another, you know, 150 wackadoodles out there that are just causing problems that are going to say, or even if they're not wackadoodles, if they truly believe they saw this, they're literally going to, I saw this older woman and she was walking around and she didn't have any shoes and she had on pajamas. You know what I mean? They take those details. Whereas if somebody would have called in to the police and said, hey, on, you know, this date, I know this is weird, but I thought I saw somebody in a car with pajamas on. They got out with no shoes, right? Then you're paying attention because it's not known to the public. So if you release details about that note, and remember, the Bureau is not only chasing this kidnapping piece, they're chasing guarantee. They have not only hired people, but they're also chasing them within their cyber units. Mm-hmm. Who did these notes?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. We haven't seen the other four either.
Yeah.
In other words, are those the same people also? Because they can't find them. And they had the same MO to the station in an email.
Wouldn't it be helpful to release this out to the public at this point if they're just hitting a brick wall? I mean, I think it's pretty much assume she's dead. So it's not like the clock is ticking here to get her back alive at this point. It's more who did this. And I don't know. I mean, is there ever going to be a point where it makes sense to release these things if they never get anywhere with their own investigative leads, you know, behind the curtain?
Maybe they are, though.
Maybe they are.
Because that's what you never see, is because the only person we've ever heard from is the sheriff. And we know how all over the place he is on what he said. We still don't know, you know, so you start getting more leakage typically, and Jen knows this much better than I do on the work in crim matters. You know, you only start getting leakage of more information being put out when what you're working on is dried up and you flush it all out. So I always take it, at least from what looks like good investigators in his department, because again, their clearance rate has been really good for a long time, irrespective of him. So I'm still always hopeful that we haven't heard more because they haven't need to release more. What do you think, Jen?
You know, I think they are at a place of no pointer, I call it. They don't have a pointed direction. They don't have any suspects. I think they are still drinking from a fire hose. So there's a big difference between cold and no pointer, right? Mm-hmm. Cold is you don't have anything to work with. They're not there. I mean, they have 30,000 tips, all this video, blah, blah, blah. So it's not cold. It's red hot from that perspective. But in terms of having a pointer, I think they don't have it. Yeah. But the biggest thing the public can help with is that picture being disseminated everywhere of Porch Guy. And I just don't think that that is happening enough. Everybody's seeing Savannah. Everybody's seeing Nancy. Nobody is seeing Porch Guy. And they're not reaching the Hispanic community, which is a huge mistake. And that $1.2 million has become an after comment.
Yeah, you know, good point on that.
Beacon.
And you're right about those leads too, because you're right, because I think what we're both saying is comes together, because they're not going to try to generate 10,000 more leads if they're still working through 10,000 leads, even though there's no direction to them yet, but they still have to sift through them with limited resources.
And maybe there's something within those 10,000 leads that they just haven't gotten
you
to
never
yet.
Know.
Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love to hear them. Please do weigh in there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Let's move over to another case that we continue to cover. It's been nearly 2 months. No arrest, no proof of life. Savannah Guthrie sitting across from Hoda Kotb, crying, saying she wakes up in the dark every single night, imagining her mother's terror. While all of that is happening, the department running this investigation just had a deputy arrested and fired, not connected to this case, but on a kidnapping charge of his own. 22-year-old Pima County Sheriff's employee allegedly holding a handcuffed woman in his patrol car, pressuring her for S. Not related to Nancy, but it's the same department, the same building, the same chain of command under a sheriff. His own deputies want to vote out unanimously, but they can't. And the question nobody can stop sitting with is this: how much confidence are we supposed to have in any of this? And what happens to Nancy if the answer is none? The optics are not good for the department to see one of their own getting arrested and charged like this. Kidnapping. Now, it has nothing to do with the Nancy Guthrie case. They did look at it initially, and the profile of this officer who is facing charges does not necessarily fit the physical makeup of what we understand of being right. Porch Guy. But when I saw it this weekend, I was like, but as of now, it doesn't appear. I guess. Should anybody have any confidence in the Pima County Sheriff's Department at this point?
They are taking a lot of shots, aren't they? When I saw this, and we were talking about this with Jennifer Coffendever on Friday too. You know,
yeah.
We want to give a lot of because as law enforcement professionals for my entire career, we've been there. We've seen bosses like this. We've seen situations like this. You get a lot of credit towards the worker bees at the ground level executing, but. This thing, when you have an arrest internally for a charge of kidnapping, you're like, all right, this isn't just a problem at the top. We might have systemic leakage from the top that's causing a culture of crazy. And that's, again, whether it is or isn't in reality doesn't really matter as much as, well, it does matter, but it equally matters even more in public perception, because where do leads and tips come from? The public. Mm-hmm. Where does faith in our organizations, institutions come from? The public. And every time you are self-inflicting a wound on yourself by having a culture and a climate of crazy like this organization, like Pima County Sheriff's Department, it erodes trust. And then you're looking at, I keep trying to find out, you know, is the investigative team solid? Is the literally as me, that's all I keep worrying about and thinking about, how solid and consistent is that investigative team? And now when you start seeing shots coming in and you start seeing where people are removed here, you're like, well, was this person key or not key? I mean, it's too much mental gyrations going on, which is a lot of chaos. So, because here's what's happening internally. If you are so worried about a witch hunt internally, or about who to I got to worry about or not communicate with, or I got to maneuver around this person and this person, all that bandwidth, and remember, us as a human being, if you got 100 kilowatts of bandwidth, say, right? And now we got to use 20% of it on this individual alone, and then maybe 5% over here, and 10% over here, and 15% with this person, and all this other. You're left down to like 5 or 10% of your bandwidth for the what actually matters. Investigating who took Nancy Guthrie and trying to find her and trying to find a culprit. Meanwhile, if all your bandwidth is sucked up because of crazy around you, that's where the problem lies.
I was thinking about this weekend a bit. Now, obviously, had we walked into this and we had a competent sheriff and we had a competent sheriff's department and everything was going swimmingly, we wouldn't be having this conversation, but we don't, and we are. The fact that there is this much crazy seemingly going on around Nanos and the department, does that ultimately, and I'm talking long term here, help or hurt the investigation? Now, again, competency early on would have been lovely. But if we're talking long term and actually finding the guy, let's say this wasn't Nancy Guthrie. Let's say this was someone, one of the many that go missing in the Sonora Desert every year, which is hundreds of people, hundreds of bodies that they find there. I saw Coffin Daffer posted something about that earlier today, the sheer number that are bodies that are found in this desert. If there wasn't this noise around this investigation, around Nanos, I'm thinking, you know, she would just be another person that would, well, it's another one that's missing. The fact that there is all this noise and the fact that there's all these eyeballs that are exposing all the BS, all the corruption, all the incompetency, you know, all the, you know, insider trading, if you will, to the public, and they're all seeing this. Is that ultimately a good thing? Because ultimately it will result in change. Now, it's not going to result in Nancy Guthrie coming back alive or quickly, but I do wonder if I'm trying to find the silver lining in this shit show does the exposure and the fact that it was someone that had notoriety, is that a positive, because it will hopefully eventually lead to maybe many more of these cases being solved, looked into better? I mean, prime example, the case we had just talked about, Rex Heuermann. For 10 years, you had an incompetent sheriff there that was like dabbling in the S worker world himself. So he didn't want anybody looking over. And I'm not saying that, you know, Nanos is out there, you know, knocking off, you know, elderly people. But in terms of just attitude and how things are being handled, seemingly we have some issues here. An exposure came for the other guy, and things changed. And now, look, Heuermann's been arrested, and we got, you know, seven charges, and he's pleading guilty. I'm wondering if there will be an eventual, here's the long-term positive to this experience.
I think so. So I was talking to, I checked into one of the campgrounds I stayed at over the weekend, and the guy actually recognized us from, you know, being on Hidden Killers, and he's like, oh, I love true crime. And he goes, he's asking about the Nancy Guthrie case in particular, and he goes, and we're actually having exactly the same conversation, and I brought up exactly the same thing. I said, in the long run, when you actually use someone like this because they have celebrity notoriety to bring attention towards a problem area, it can be a good thing. I mean, Gabby Petito is a great example. He was actually out in the desert 4 miles from where they were at and camping, right? And he goes, do you know how many bodies they found in the desert when they're searching for her that they had no idea about, all these unsubs and all these missing women that went missing in that area? He said they, when he was in his area he was in, I think he said that they found 10 or 12 that were otherwise like dead cold cases. And so because it brought the attention to again. The challenge here is, this is where it's taken a sad shift. Every single case, again, I was on a show the other day where it's easy to see every single national case like this, the leadership at the top gets panged by us. I mean, we pile on because we're looking for perfection. We're looking for people to do a better job. We're looking for better communication. There's always a level. Now, here's what the big difference is, though. Nanos falls right in the realm of normal, unfortunately, for these behaviors. But here's what's not normal. In all these other instances, though, you don't have their entire police department signing petitions to remove them. You don't have 40 years of lying on resumes. You don't. So he's his performance level is little below average from what we typically see in these type of high level situations and high cases like this. But where he's falling bottom is what everyone behind the scenes is saying about him, the kind of officer he is, the kind of leader he is, and his whole department is in chaos. In all these other cases, the department seemed pretty solid. They actually were able to execute, and then things got solved because of those solid departments. But because of Nanos's leadership in here, he's got a crap show on his hands, and it's playing out, unfortunately, in a negative way, I think.
I got a question about the tips that have been coming in. Over 1,500 tips came in after the reward was upped, I should say, to the $1 million. Obviously, not a cold case, but a flood of information. It's not nothing. The question is, what does that mean when the leads are there, but the answers aren't? Pam asked that on X.
Yeah, well, when the leads are there but the answers aren't, means you got a lot of noise coming in. But you always got to sift through noise because you have no idea where it can go. And, you know, Coffin Dever and I talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. Everything gets run down. And more the better, because especially when you start, I wouldn't say coming to the end, but as your meaty leads start ebbing away and you're left with, hey, I saw a guy driving down my road at 3 o'clock in the morning, 50 miles away. Those are the kind that you got to start saying, oh, maybe that's something. Maybe this is something. Maybe this is something. The hard part then is not just following up on the lead, but then seeing if it relates to all the other data points we have and see if there's a connection there. Because that's what we're doing when we're following leads. We have the core base of knowledge that we know from the crime scene, from the digital analysis and everything we did. And then what we're doing is, if this, what we know in here, is left us at a dead end, well, then all these other leads that are coming in, we're seeing, is there a connection? Is there a connection? Is there a connection? Mm-hmm. So right now, more leads are better because we keep trying to see, is there a connection? Is there a connection? But as all these other ones dry up, we're still left with this, and it doesn't really be seen to bring us anywhere yet.
Did you get a chance to watch Savannah's interview with Hoda?
Yes. Yep.
I've never just thoughts. What was your reaction after seeing it?
I've really liked watching her throughout everything. I think her messaging has been more thoughtful than anyone else's, than Nanos, yeah, for sure. This one was the hugely empathetic draw. And because I know people are criticizing the interviewee, whatnot, but I you can connect with her because she's being very genuine, organic with what, yeah, how she's portraying everything that's been going on. It's very heartfelt. I think every single statement that she has made and the family's made has been very, very strategic, but strategic, humanistic, empathy driven. I mean, so it's very thoughtful with a purpose, but not manipulative, because it's very real and to who she is. And so I think it's been very, very spot on every single time. I mean, seriously, think about this. She hasn't had a negative response necessarily to anything that she's ever said. Nanos can't say a word without everyone pounding on him because everything coming out of his mouth is stupid.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I thought it was heartbreaking. I was really surprised, honestly, to see the criticism of the interview. I saw some of it over the week, and I'm like, what?
Were they criticizing her or Hoda? I thought they were criticizing
everything.
Hoda.
I've seen every version of criticism. And yeah, it all, I think it all kind of depends on where your mindset is going into watching it. Because mm-hmm. there's still so many people that are on this bandwagon of that the family had something to do with it. Why? And they're walking into this going,
negative confirmation bias.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Like, that's why didn't Hoda really pound her? Like, because it wasn't that type of interview. Like, right, this was a friend to a friend, and you can argue they're friends, they're not friends. I don't really care. They've right. been colleagues for more than a decade. There's a level of they're there for each other at the worst moments of life. And is the Today Show, you know, they'd be remiss in not making, you know, points of this. Like, nobody can win in this because everybody wants to pound everybody down. It's like, well, Today Show's, you know, cashing in on it. And you'd be criticizing the shit out of the Today Show if they weren't covering it as well.
Yes.
It's like, the more awareness, the better. And I can guarantee Savannah would appreciate coverage on this to help figure out what the hell's going on. So I've seen every criticism of it. Why wouldn't they pound her? Like, this is not that interview. She's not
She gave us more tips too. We learned a lot more about.
She told us more than we
learned more about that than in the last 2 months.
Yeah. So I was surprised by that, but you know, just the I think the most heartbreaking thing is, and I cannot imagine, because there's nothing anyone is going to be able to say to Savannah than other than maybe a lot of intensive therapy with a very good therapist. Mm. Where she's not going to blame herself, because you can clearly see Savannah is blaming herself.
Oh, hell yes.
Because she exists, because she chose this career path, because she's a person in the public eye, because she did some fun segments with her mom, which is fine to do. We all do it. I've had my mom on every show I've ever done. And the last thing on my mind is ever that something horrible. And I hope it's like you can't not live your life. You cannot not do those normal things that you would do when you're in that sort of a position. You know, and you can't live your life in a fear state of all of that, but you're gonna run all that stuff through your mind after everything is, as you know. Well, maybe if you decided to work at Wendy's for your whole life, this never would have happened. But that's not life, and I cannot imagine in any planet that Nancy Guthrie would have ever, you know, thought or said, or her siblings would have ever have thought or said, you're in the public spotlight. That puts us at some sort of risk. I really wish you wouldn't be there. No one's ever said that. The biggest critic, the biggest thing that's going on is the demons that are attacking Savannah in her mind right now.
And all of them too. And because remember, she was at, Nancy was at her daughter's house and her son-in-law's house, you know, playing cards, doing their normal every Saturday night thing. And because I know that was a comment someone came up with last, on one of the other shows talking about this. Yeah, I looked it up. That was a Saturday night ritual that they had. Yeah. And so do you really think that they don't have, everyone involved in this family's got massive survivor's guilt. Massive.
Everyone's going to have the shoulda, coulda, woulda, maybe this, if I did this differently. And the thing is, at the end of the day,
it's the guy that did it. It's always that choice. You can always go back in all these cases and you can think you can save the world, but no, if someone is determined to do it towards you, the likelihood they're going to do it is pretty damn high. So don't blame yourself.
And that's the hardest. Yeah, exactly. And that's the hard. Yeah. And that's the other thing with the whole damn thing is right from the get go, this family had everybody looking at them, and that just compounds on top of everything.
Well, and rightfully, but that's why, I love what we do, Tony, because that's exactly where you look at first. Every single case, you always start in the closed circle, because that's where all the averages come in. That's typically where it is, and then you just expand out. But the first thing I did on this case was, everyone's like, oh, son-in-law. I looked at it this, zero behavior arc that fits the pattern. Zero. Yeah. Absolutely zero. Now, granted, a lot of this stuff makes no sense in this case whatsoever, but that made the biggest no sense.
The problem is, we're in this culture where people dig in without even having dug very deep, I think. And that's interesting. And maybe that's a state of our world today where, people used to dig in after they've had a couple of reps and they've dug in a little bit, and they got a good hole going. Now it's like, I put the garden shovel in and I'm going to die on the garden shovel. It's like, what are you talking? Like, you didn't even like scratch the surface here. Dig a little bit deeper. You're going to find out you're wrong. There's nothing
just
here.
Think critically and be curious. Think critically and, oh my God, be willing to change your mind. That's the biggest thing.
That's the thing. Yeah.
I mean, I did this on Friday because, again, Jennifer Coffendover was kind of doing a little cheer there, because I said I moved from 60-40 kind of down to 50-50 of who was targeted or what was targeted at homes. Why? I got more data. As you get more data and details in, as intelligent human beings, we shift our minds, we shift our perspectives. Because if you are emotionally, so here's the danger of all these things. If you start out emotionally attached to an outcome that you want to happen, that you wish would happen, or that you're seeking to have happen, you're now going to only take in data that supports that outcome that you're seeking. If you're just curious about, I wonder what happened, then you're able to kind of maneuver, take it all in, assess it, run it through thought experiments. You run it through the law of averages. You run it through probabilities. You run it through all these different things, and you keep taking more data in. And then you interrogate that data. It's like, all right, that doesn't make sense. Let me say, or if I have a certain way of believing this, I'm going to try like hard to disprove what I think. So this is what we do in this methodology of trying to understand what happened is you take it in, you assess it, you become flexible to all of it, and then you see if the data drives the outcome that you thought might happen or not. And then you roll. But yeah.
It's a lot easier to stay in the shallow end of the thinking pool because it doesn't require as much work.
You know, yeah, it's fun though.
You gotta swim. You're a swimmer. You know, you gotta paddle. You gotta do some work there if you're gonna go deeper in the pool. But so many folks, they don't want to put the work in, so they stay in the shallow end of the thinking pool. And that's the biggest thing with any case. Get out of the shallow end of the thinking pool. You start there, that's where you enter the pool, but keep going out and you're gonna find a lot more. I saw somebody said it's the shallow thinking that becomes the norm. That's
Yeah, because it's easy, you know. And, yeah. But I'll tell you, it's so more satisfying. So here's what we do. I mean, Tony and I will break that fourth wall right now, right? All weekend long, like in between shows and stuff, like we keep, Tony does way more than this than he should. He needs a life, right? But you know,
this is my life.
every time nothing comes up, my mind is thinking about this stuff all the time. And all of a sudden I have this idea. It's like, oh my God, what about this? Right. And I come up with one of these ideas that that we haven't heard before or talked about before. I'll then do deep dives. I'll interrogate that information. Then I get excited back and forth with Tony because we are each other's loving critics. So if that makes sense, not make sense. And that's how we flesh things out. You have an idea. Let's see if that idea actually makes sense with what we see, what the research says, and all these other past things. And I'm going to bounce it off a loving critic. And then if it's ready to present as a theory or as a hypothesis, not theory, as a hypothesis to get more people to weigh in on, I mean, literally, we are working the scientific method in a very unscientific area.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's heartbreaking. I mean, unfortunately, there's really not a lot new to report on any of this. Savannah certainly brought up some interesting pieces about the door and such. Let's talk on that real quick before we move to the Duggars. Any other thoughts on that? That we learned that the back patio door was open. Now we know, because you add that with the other data we have of the guy on camera, porch guy, we don't know if he opened the door. It looked like that was his next step, and then the camera footage stops. What's your thoughts on this back patio door being opened? I mean, I guess one thought process would be, did the camera stop recording and he didn't get it open and he walked to the back of the house after that? You know, or with other people are jumping to, maybe there was more than one person involved. Maybe there was somebody in the back. I mean, I don't know.
Didn't really add a lot. It added a little more common sense of what I was expecting, because we had talked about this a lot, that there's other easier ways of getting inside of this house rather than that front door. So it just made me even more curious about what he was even doing at the front door if they found out a way to go around the back. And one or two people, I'm still in the world of a maybe on a lot of this. The only thing that swayed me a little bit was the first impression of her brother, the fighter pilot, that said it was definitely an abduction. Only because first impressions that some people have will add a little bit more data. In other words, it made me more curious about what did he see, what made him say that. But otherwise, back doors being propped open, as I said, or even just left open. I was expecting that because there was no forced entry, and how'd they get in? And the other ways were much easier. So, yeah, it's about what I expected. But again, 41 minutes. That's the one that I still can't get over is that time frame.
And I think a big thing that people, they're conflating a lot of things from Savannah's interview and putting it all in the same category or lane, if you will. There's facts, there's data, and there's opinion. And Savannah expressed a variation of all of it. A fact would be the door was open in the back. Okay, that's a fact. That's okay, this is the data, the door was open. An opinion would be she believes that two of the ransom notes were legit. We don't know the answer. That's her opinion.
Right.
She's more than entitled to it than anyone else on this planet. It doesn't make it a fact.
Right.
And what I think a lot of people are doing is they're saying everything she said is a fact. No, it's not.
And the ransom notes to me still, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Until I see them, I don't have any, yeah.
It was too easy for me to replicate something with a lot of detail based on older women in homes with Apple Watches and footage, you know, pictures from other streaming sources. I mean, there's a lot of things that could have been faked for detail. And as well as if the intent, now granted, if you're going to go down the taken for intent of ransom, it made no sense at all. So it doesn't fit that pattern. Now, if you're going to do, you know, as I know Coffin Devers on the retribution aspect of it. Yes. So if it was for retribution, I think that's a more plausible theory than right now than for ransom, because the ransom thing still doesn't make any sense with what the actions we saw. But okay, if we're going to do retribution, that means those letters were bunk anyway. I still think the letters are just nothing but spear phishing. I really think they just took advantage of a situation someone knew about.
Yeah, I tend
to... Until I see
to,
more data, I'm still flexible.
Yeah, it's data. It's data that she said it. So that goes to opinion and data. Okay, then we go from there and figure out, you know, but we can't cross into the world of that being a fact yet. And I'm just saying to the audience out there, be careful on what you're conflating as fact versus data versus opinion, because they're all different things. They all play roles in this, but they play different roles. And if you start putting the wrong ingredient in the wrong slot, you might mess up the recipe.
And especially since Savannah put out, hey, we just want her back. So if you actually had the body, alive or dead, and you wanted money, you'd figure out a way. I did it. I used my AI to figure out how do I get in touch with Savannah to figure out how to get money. It gave me five different ways.
You're going to be investigated now.
Probably. All my crazy searches on my AI for after.
No kidding.
Show, right?
Yeah. No.
But
yeah.
It's actually kind of neat. My mind blocks me from doing certain things because I asked it. I actually had to try to come up with a ransom note for Savannah, for Nancy. It wouldn't let me, but I could come up with one. But I was able to do one for my own wife.
Oh, that's good. We can't do it to strangers, but your own wife? Here you go.
So I had to plug my wife into it.
God. Oh, the joys of AI. All right. Your thoughts.
I do all I can.
your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. Love for you to weigh in. We do read them, and your opinion matters, so please do weigh in there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, Foos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.